All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing me back safely. Thank you for your blessing upon this church. We pray that you will bless the preaching and teaching of your word this morning. Open our eyes, Lord, please, to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I think that the general subject we've been dealing with is demons and how to deal with them, right? Yeah, and so far, I think I've shared, preached two sermons on this subject. And in the first one, we were just laying a foundation on what we're hoping to learn by the time we're done with this subject, which is that number one, we would understand the nature of demonic activity. Number two, we would know what specific activities we can attribute to demons. And number three, how to deal with demons in your personal life. Amen.
Amen.
Right. And we talked about how to approach demonic situations, that first of all, you need to be able to recognize the presence of demons, and how that the people in the Bible were never confused about which situation was caused by demons or not. And they would often boldly say, even people would say about their children, that my child has an evil spirit, right? So that is one of them. And we also talked about the fact that the way to defeat demons is primarily to disagree with those demonic influences and activities, isn't it?
Yeah.
That if you agree with those demonic influences and activities, then you would allow them to have a greater power over your life. Hallelujah. Pastor Manila, do you remember I emailed something to you, or we got a page that I was going to read from Final Quest? If you still have it, maybe you can pull it up and I'll share that little bit with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the last time we were talking about the compatibility of demons with the Christian style living. Hallelujah. That demons can live in a very compatible way with your Christian life. And so, and that's the main thing that confuses a lot of people, because they expect, or we expect, that when someone, or even the word possess, usually the word possess is the word that is used to describe a person's relationship with an evil spirit. And so we say that someone is possessed by an evil spirit. And that gives the impression of ownership. And therefore, you expect that that person will be freaking out all the time. Do you understand? So that is how come many of us are often confused about who has a demon, or whose life is being influenced by an evil spirit, or whether or not an aspect of your life is actually being controlled and influenced by an evil spirit. You understand? Because we often expect that if an evil spirit was really, or if anything about you or me had to do with an evil spirit, it would be very freaky and very wild in its presentation. But we talked about this the last time, to recognize that demons can actually influence people who have a reputation even for being very spiritual. Do you understand? People who have a reputation for being led by the Spirit of God. And I think I gave you a couple of examples. Hallelujah. But let me read this book. This is a vision that somebody had and wrote it in a book. And I recommend that you get the book and read it for yourself. But here is it. It says, the demonic army was so large that it stretched as far as I could see. Said it was separated into divisions, with each carrying a different banner. The foremost divisions marched under the banners of pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, unrighteous judgment, and jealousy. Do you understand? Now, you wouldn't have expected, perhaps it's easy to associate demons with pride, you know. But self-righteousness is often celebrated. Do you understand? When someone feels good and looks down on everybody else, do you see? He looks like a good person. Respectability is another one. You see, where people look very respectable, you know, and have sometimes an intimidating look. Do you understand? Sometimes when, especially if you're a preacher, you encounter congregations you can't preach to. Yeah, because the people that you're preaching to, they are looking at you in a certain way, you know, and they look so distinguished and so stern in their looks that you will not realize that that thing is actually affecting your preaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, do you realize how even when you stand up to speak in front of a class, you start to fumble because of, you know. Now, when you take that to a higher level where the word of God is being preached, it also happens. Do you see? Anyway, so selfish ambition, unrighteous judgment, and jealousy. It says, there were many more of these evil divisions beyond the scope of my vision. But those in the vanguard of this terrible horde from hell seemed to be the most powerful. The leader of this army was the accuser of the brethren himself, which is another name for the devil. Now, the weapons carried by this horde were also named. The weapons that demons use to attack the church, the swords were named intimidation. You see, and the spears were named treachery, which means betrayal or disloyalty. Then the arrows were named accusation, and then gossip and slander and fault finding. And then scouts of smaller companies of demons with such names as rejection, bitterness, impatience, unforgiveness, and lust were sent in advance of this army to prepare for the main attack. Hallelujah. Now, you may not believe it, but I think it's easy to understand that gossip, for example, and slander and fault finding can rip a church apart very easily. Hallelujah. The reason why it destroys not just the church, but even friends. You see, it pulls about apart relationships, destroys friendships, destroys families, and so on, because it actually is a work of evil spirits. It is one of the weapons that the evil spirits drive and throw at people and attack people with to destroy their lives, to destroy their marriages, to destroy their relationships, and so on. Then it says there were smaller companies of demons with such names as rejection and bitterness and impatience. Wow. Impatience, unforgiveness, and lust were sent in advance of this army to prepare for the main attack. These smaller companies and scouts were much fewer in number, but they were no less powerful than some of the larger divisions that followed. They were smaller only for strategic reasons. Just as John the Baptist was given an extraordinary anointing for baptizing the masses to prepare them for the Lord, these smaller demonic companies were given extraordinary evil powers for baptizing the masses. A single demon of bitterness could sow his poison into multitudes of people, even entire races or cultures. A demon of lust would attach himself to a single performer, movie, or advertisement and send what appeared to be bolts of electric slime that would hit and desensitize great masses of people. All of this was to prepare for the great horde of evil which followed. Now, although this army was marching specifically against the church, it was also attacking anyone else that it could. That's why you don't find these things only in churches. Then it says, I knew it was seeking to preempt a coming move of God, which was destined to sweep great numbers of people into the church. The primary strategy of this army was to cause division on every possible level of relationship. That was the primary strategy, which is you start with causing division on every possible level of relationship. Churches with each other, congregations with their pastors, husbands and wives, children and parents, and even children with each other. Wow. The scouts were sent to locate openings in churches, families, or individuals that such spirits as rejection, bitterness, and lust could exploit and enlarge. Through these openings would pour out demonic influences that completely overwhelmed their victims. Wow. Do you understand what I'm reading so far? Yeah. Now, the most shocking part of this vision was that this horde was not riding on horses, but primarily on Christians. Most of them, the Christians, were well-dressed, respectable, and had the appearance of being refined and educated. But there also seemed to be representatives from almost every walk of life. While these people professed Christian truths in order to appease their consciences, they lived their lives in agreement with the powers of darkness. As they agreed with those powers, their assigned demons grew and more easily directed their actions. Many of these believers were host to more than one demon. But then, what? Do you have a bit more? Okay, but then one of the demons would clearly be in charge. The nature of the one in charge dictated which division it was marching in. Even though the divisions were all marching together, it also seemed that the entire army was on the verge of chaos. For example, the demons of hate hated the other demons as much as they did the Christians. And the demons of jealousy were all jealous of one another. Okay? Right. The only way the leaders of this horde kept the demons from fighting each other was to keep their hatred focused on the people they were riding. Who are the people they are riding? The Christians. Then it says, however, these people would often break out in fights with each other. I knew that some armies which came against Israel in the scriptures had ended up destroying themselves in the same way. When their purpose against Israel was thwarted, their rage was uncontrollable and they began fighting each other. Now, I noted that the demons that were riding on these Christians, but were not in them, as was the case with non-Christians. So can you see that? It was obvious that these believers had only to stop agreeing with their demons in order to get free of them. For example, if the Christian on whom a demon of jealousy was riding just started to question the jealousy, that demon would weaken very fast. When this happened, the weakened demon would cry out, and the leader of the division would direct all the demons around that Christian to attack him until the jealousy would build up on him again. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you follow what I'm sharing with you? It says that all the Christian had to do was just to disagree. In other words, when a Christian would first of all acknowledge or admit that this feeling I'm having towards this person, you know, this sour feeling, you are there and you hear that someone has bought a new car. And then you just begin to feel sick about it. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. Or it's just me. Hallelujah. But you hear something that's supposed to be good news for another person, and somehow you can't rejoice. Because there's a part of you that makes you feel or wish it was you, and you don't quite understand why it's not you and has to be this person, and especially if it's not the first time, it's the second time.
Are you getting it?
Yeah. So, but then when a Christian starts to question that feeling and say that, no, this feeling is jealousy. And I shouldn't be feeling this way about the success of someone I claim to love. Are you getting it? And the Bible says when that happened, then suddenly that demon would weaken very fast. Isn't it? And then it says when this happened, the weakened demon would cry out and the leader of the division that it was riding under would direct all the demons around that Christian to attack him until the jealousy would build up on him again. If this did not work, the demons would begin quoting scriptures, perverting them in a way that would justify the bitterness. Do you get it? Accusations or other satanic influences they were spreading. So the power of the demons was clearly rooted almost entirely in the power of deception. But they had deceived these Christians to an extent that they had deceived the Christians so much. No, I think you're missing a page. Yeah, they had deceived the Christians to a point where they could use them. That is, the demons could use the Christians and the Christians would think they were being used by God. Do you see? This was because of self-righteousness. This was because banners of self-righteousness were being carried by almost everyone. So that those marching could not even see the banners that marked the true nature of these divisions. Hallelujah. Right. So I think you get the idea of how demons operate. Hallelujah. And all that a Christian has to do is not to deny, but rather to be honest. And to say that, no, this thing ought not be. And as soon as you start to disagree with it, the story says that the demon's power began to weaken very quickly. Amen. Now, let me read the Bible to you. Let's read the Bible before you say that we're reading a book instead of the Bible. Okay. Right. So, let's go to the Bible. I shared with you the last time three verses that showed that people who go to church or people who are Christians can actually be influenced by evil spirits. Hallelujah. Right. Number one was from Mark chapter 21. Mark chapter 21. Mark chapter 21. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Okay. Mark chapter 1 and from verse 21. Okay. Okay. Before that, let's go to chapter 5. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 5. Mark chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's read, first of all, about this madman that had evil spirits in him. Hallelujah. Are you learning anything at all from this message? Okay. Now, verse 1, they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Mark 5, verse 1, yes. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Okay, and then keep going. I'm going to come to the French soon, but keep going, verse 2, and we're going. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, and then who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So here is a man who has an evil spirit. And then he says, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Okay? Then verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Hallelujah. Amen. Crying and cutting himself withstood. When you find people doing things they don't like, that hurts them, but which they continue to do and cry about after they've done it, but which they continue to do and cry about after they've done it, but which they continue to do and cry about and wish they hadn't done it, and wish and swear and vow never to do it again, but continue to do it and start to hate themselves for doing it, you should know that they are under the influence of an evil spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if you read in verse 5, the Bible says the man who had the evil spirits in him, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, we are not designed as human beings to want to cut ourselves with stones. And that's why he's crying, because it hurts. But he still is doing it because he's under the influence of evil spirits. Can you see that? So jump to verse 7, or 6 and 7, verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice and said, it says the demons cried with a loud voice and said, what have we to do, or what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Hallelujah. Give me verse 6 again. Give me verse 6 again. It says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Hallelujah. Now, this is what throws people off, because you wouldn't have expected that someone who has evil spirits will run and worship the Lord. Isn't it? Because that's not what we expect of the devil. We don't expect that the devil or evil spirits will encourage someone to run and worship. I mean, he ran and worshipped. That's beyond all of us, because most of us did not run to church this morning. Isn't it? Yeah, but this man, when he saw Jesus, he ran into the presence of Jesus. So it means that being in the presence of the Lord itself does not mean that a person is free of evil spirits. Amen. So you can see right here that this person has come and is worshiping, has come to the presence of Jesus and is worshiping. But he's full of evil spirits. The evil spirits have not stopped him from actually going to church. Can I have an amen, please? You are too quiet this morning. Maybe because I didn't bring my tie. Next time, I'll bring my tie next Sunday. But hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. So this is the first illustration of that point. This is the first example that a person can be a Christian and can be a church goer, can attend church regularly, but have an aspect of their lives, if not all of it, actually controlled by an evil spirit. Amen. Have you not seen or heard about Christian gossipers? Yeah. Otherwise, where would gossip come from? In the church. Almost everything you have outside the church, you also can have it in the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So much so that sometimes people who don't go to church don't find it necessary to go to church. They feel that there are as many hypocrites in the church as there are outside the church. They feel that all the people in the church are hypocrites, because when I know they go to church, but I also know that they live like this and like that and like that. So what is the point? But you see, someone's hypocrisy can never be sufficient excuse for your own unwillingness to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says each man will account for himself. Hallelujah. So you should never allow anybody's behavior to stop you from going to church. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. So as you can see, this man has gone to worship Jesus in spite of having a lot of evil spirits. Now, if we back up to chapter 1 and verse 21 of Mark, then we get the second example, which I was talking about the last time. In this second example, the Bible says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, the synagogue is the Jewish equivalent of a church, isn't it? And the Bible says he went into the synagogue and he was teaching, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Then verse 23, the Bible says, and there was in their synagogue a man with what? An unclean spirit. What a shock. Look who has come to church. A man with an unclean spirit is a member of their synagogue. Hallelujah. And he's making contributions and crying out while the preaching is going on. And what is he saying? Leave us alone. Do you get it? Leave us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you should even be careful with yourself, especially when preaching is going on and you find yourself fighting it. When you find yourself having a leave us alone mentality or attitude towards the preaching of the Word of God, especially where the pastor is preaching about something and maybe that something concerns you. Do you see what I'm saying? Or you can relate with it one way or the other. And instead of being honest and admitting and accepting and actually being grateful that God has cared enough about you to talk about you in church. Amen. Amen. Because it's a blessing. I mean, why do you want to listen to preaching that doesn't concern you? It's like wanting to open a letter that doesn't have your name behind it. Why would you want a messenger to bring you a message that does not belong to you? Why should a pastor bring you a message? A pastor is a messenger. Why should a pastor bring you a message that doesn't have your name on it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You see that it's an aspect of our thinking that relates more to, you know, going to church to appease our consciences, and not that we are really trying to find God and trying to get better in our walk with Him and trying to draw closer to Him. If that was our aim, you would find that often we want to hear things that concern us. Hallelujah. Because really, the things that are keeping you from going forward are not the things you are doing right. You don't need another celebration of the right things about you. Because that's not what is hurting you. What is hurting you and what is preventing you from advancing in the Lord, from advancing in life, from advancing in the relationship, are the things that you're doing wrong. And so a truly helpful service is a service that addresses those things head on. It's a service that confronts those things and says, look, this is not the way to live. This is the way to live. And then you start to believe it, receive it, and you advance. Can I have an amen? Amen. So you see, this man, when the preaching was going, and this preacher is not myself. This preacher is not one of the preachers in town. This is Jesus Christ himself preaching. And the man is sitting in the congregation, and he's saying, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Like, move to the next point. Yeah. See, sometimes when the pastor is preaching and he's on a certain point and just working it and working it, and it's like, you know, when are you going to get through with this point and just move on to the next one? Because it's getting uncomfortable. It's coming close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I want you to leave this service today knowing this, that anything that comes close to addressing an issue in your life is actually an expression of God's love for you. It means God cares about you, and God has sent someone to talk about or to talk to you about something that concerns you. And that is a blessing. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right, so let's just finish this real quick. And then in the next verse 25, it says, but Jesus spoke to him. Jesus addressed the evil spirit. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And then verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn him, This is in a church service. You know, some people don't understand why people roll on the floor. The other day when I was in Minneapolis, I was praying for somebody. You know, the human being started to move on the floor like a snake. You know, and believe me, I didn't cause it because I can't cause such things. do you understand? I can't cause such things. But I was just praying for some people. She had come forward voluntarily to be prayed for. And then as I laid my hands on her to pray for her, she just fell down. I didn't push her. Believe me, I didn't push her. I did not push her. I just laid my hands on her. And then she fell down under the power of God. Then she started to move like that, you know, on the floor. And I followed her. Trust me, I was actually a little scared. But I had to finish what I had started. So I went after her and I prayed for her and I prayed for her. And then I was saying to the evil spirit, I said, come out. And then the thing said, no. I said, come out. I said, no. I said, come out. She said, no. Yeah. And it went on for a while and then she stopped. Now, when the service was over, we were just waiting as people, and then she came to talk to me. So I was just trying to find a way of getting into that thing that happened. I even wondered why she came to me, but she had come. So we started talking, and then I asked her, what do you struggle with? And then she said to me that I struggle with relationships. You know, then she told me something, some kind of weird, you know, something unusual about the relationship. But you see, I even learned from there that something that I had never thought of as being caused by an evil spirit is what she was explaining to me. And so I even asked her, do you remember I prayed for you? She said, no. I said, do you remember what happened? She said, no. She didn't remember anything like that. These things are real. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, they are real. And sometimes when you don't like freaky situations, you try not to go to such places. But it doesn't change their reality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is in the service where Jesus is preaching. Somebody is crying with a loud voice because Jesus has rebuked him. So loud voices, loud cries in a service does not mean you are in a cult service. If you were in the right service, you should expect something like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're in a right service where evil spirits are being confronted, you should expect that you would have manifestations like this. He said, had torn him and cried with a loud voice and he came out of him. Evil spirit came out of the man, you know. And then verse 27, it says, and all the people, verse 27, he's so into what I'm saying. And all the people were amazed. Of course they would be. In so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded even the evil spirits and they do obey him. They would be shocked, of course. Because chances are that this man has been a member for a long time. Hallelujah. Are you guys understanding what I'm sharing with you? Then very quickly from Matthew chapter 16, you see the third example of a good person, but yet suddenly he's operating under an evil spirit. So, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 16. Let's start from verse 13. That will help us a little bit. 16 and from verse 13. It says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Because God always wants to make things and bring things down to the personal level. It's enough. People say this, people say that, people say that. But what do you say? Do you see? So he asked him, what do you say, or who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you see? Yeah. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. Now remember, this is someone who's been walking behind Jesus for a while. Okay? And Jesus says to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, that means this revelation did not come to you through a human being. But he says, but my Father which is in heaven, that means God is the one who has opened your eyes to see that I am the Son of the living God. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. This is how we know that the devil cannot destroy our church. Amen? Amen. Right. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this is Jesus giving authority to Peter and talking to him and having a conversation with him. Then in verse 20, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. Hallelujah. Now verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then verse 22. Then Peter took him. See, this guy, a few moments ago, Jesus had told him that you have seen visions, and the Father has revealed fantastic things to you. So when Jesus began to talk about this, he says, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Of course, if you are with your pastor, and your pastor is talking about going to a place and suffering many things, and that he was going to be killed, you probably even think he's getting suicidal. You may be thinking that perhaps the attendance for that day has actually affected him. You see, and he's having a really low moment. Do you understand? That something like that. And so Peter takes him and says, Pastor Jesus, come over here. And he takes him to the corner. And Peter starts to rebuke him and he says, be it far from thee. Don't talk like that. And he says, this shall not be unto thee. This will not happen to you. You will not be killed. You will not die. And then, to his surprise, verse 23, he says, but he turned, that is Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, not Peter, but Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see how Jesus turned to Peter and calls him Satan? And what bad thing is he saying? Can you bring us back to verse 22? What bad thing is Peter saying here that makes it look like it's Satan speaking? You are talking about being killed and suffering. And I am saying, be it far from thee, Lord, and this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus was able to pick it up very quickly and recognize that this benign statement that is being made is actually a demonic statement that is coming from the devil. Of course, many years after, when we see what the death of Jesus Christ has brought in terms of salvation to the world, then you can understand why he would say that any suggestion that he shouldn't die is actually a suggestion from Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
But I want you to see how in this one person called Peter, and in just one moment, he seems to be oscillating between revelations from God and influences from Satan. He seems to have thoughts that come from God, and he also has thoughts that come from the devil. He has thoughts where God is revealing Christ to him, and he also has suggestions to make to others that are devilish and demonic. Now, if that can happen to a close follower of Christ, who has been following Christ all the time, then it can happen to you and I. And it can happen much worse to someone who doesn't know the Lord at all. See, some of us have friends we take advice from who give us very bland, benign advice, pieces of advice that we take, and sometimes as we follow them, it leads us into a ditch. Hallelujah. Amen. Advice that we didn't think could lead to our destruction suddenly starts to lead to our destruction and starts to introduce things into our lives that are not otherwise positive. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So every Christian needs to understand this, that demonic influences are not that far from you. And you need, that's why the Bible says we must not believe every spirit, but we must test them and try them and be sure they are of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So what are the implications of this then? Number one is that a Christian can have two spirits present and at work in his life. That's number one. Number two, it also explains the double standards we often see. Do you see? It also explains the double standards we often see in people. That a very good person or someone we've always thought of as a very good person can actually be subjected to something very evil. Isn't it? Yeah. That's how come you can find all the bad things also in the church. You can find thieves in the church. You can find murderers in the church. You can find all kinds of bad behavior also in the church. You can sometimes find depressed people in the church. Find people living in fear in the church. You can find lying people in the church. Do you get it? Because a person can be a Christian who attends church but have an aspect of his life under the control of an evil spirit. Hallelujah. Number three implication is that Christians should not be deceived by the apparent goodness of a person. You get it? Now, sometimes when you've known the good history of a person, it is difficult to diagnose maybe a particular behavior or aspect of his life or some decision he's taken as this one is led by an evil spirit or this one is being directed by an evil spirit. Are you getting it? Yeah. But Jesus was not confused. He was able, in spite of the fact that he had recognized that Peter had been led by the Spirit a short while ago, he was also able to recognize that this statement Peter is making is actually influenced by Satan. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then the next one quickly. It means also that as prospective couples also should also not be deceived. Do you understand? Should also not be deceived by the apparent goodness of each other. Because sometimes wild things can show up later. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen, please. Okay, next one, that Christian business people should not be deceived by the fact that a person is a Christian as they deal with people. They shouldn't be deceived. If you are doing business with someone in the church, it doesn't mean you should close your eyes. Oh, he's a Christian. I've seen some church member swindlers, you know, who have actually taken people's money. In fact, when I went to South Africa, I heard about a brother, you know,
And the pastor was telling me this was a brother he really trusted, was walking with everybody. One day when they arrived in the church, the instruments in the church were not there. They couldn't believe it, you know. And the church was under some kind of, the place is quite secure. I saw it myself. It was a very secure place. And so they wondered, who has come for the things? Then the person next door said, this brother, he came here in the night and I saw him. The brother that the pastor trusted so much is the guy who came. He had a key to the church. And he came inside the church and stole the musical instruments in the church and sold them. Yeah. Wow. He was obviously not led by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it? Yeah, that's an evil spirit. So as they went into the issue, in fact, it even cost them some church members, because the church members were really confused. Because someone who was like or considered to be a main person, you know, close to the pastor, they go forth and they come backwards and forwards like that, working in the church. And then he comes to steal the instruments in the church and sells them. You know, everybody will be confused, isn't it? Yeah. I'm trying to give an example, but I can't give. I'm not sure which one. Who? So you just try to understand it. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Yeah. So such things can happen. And he said as they went into the issue, then they found out that this same brother, he had borrowed money from this person, from that person, from that person, from that person. He'd borrowed money from everybody in the church. No one knows that he has actually been having such a habit in the church. And the pastor of the other church also told me he also had a lady in the church who was like that. She came to the church and said, I don't have a place to stay, something, something, some story like that. And then he didn't know what to do. But he was saved from that situation because he was about to offer the lady some place or something like that. Until somebody came and said, oh, this lady, wow. They found out that she owes this person 500, she owes this person 200, she's borrowed money from everybody all over the place with different kinds of stories all the time. Some people feel that a church is where people are at their best. Do you understand? Their guards are completely, most of you didn't bring your guards to church this morning. Do you understand? So people are most vulnerable. In the church, the law of kindness and love and, you know, things like that are at work. So evil spirits can enter people and influence them to take advantage of the church people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's important that you open your eyes to such things and not be surprised. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yeah, and not be surprised. I was talking about couples. You see, one day, in one of our churches, a lady was washing her husband's clothes. Then she felt like there was some card or something like that in the pocket, so she took it out. When she took the card out, the card was actually an invitation to her husband's wedding. Do you understand that? Her husband was getting married to somebody else. You know, and has printed invitation cards and everything and has, and just happened to have one in his pocket. I guess he was bringing it to her. All kinds of weird, freaky things you can find in a church. Hallelujah. But it doesn't mean that a church is not a good place to go to. You should expect such things in a church, because a church is like a hospital where people come to get better. Hallelujah. It's a place where people come to get. And that is why when the preaching even concerns you, it means the church is working. Isn't it? Yeah, it means the church is working. When you come to church and the preaching makes you even unhappy. It's just like injections make you temporarily unhappy, but they bring joy later when your appetite returns and your temperature has gone down and you start to smile again. You are glad you went to visit the hospital. Hallelujah. So we need to understand it. Next week, I'm going to be sharing with you more characteristics of demonic activity. And I want you to plan to be here. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Pierre Lion, priest apart. Semit, what does it mean? No, give me verse 23. Let's see Jesus speaking French to Peter. Okay. Verse 23. Mais Jesus se retourna. Is that correct? Did appear. Arrière de moi, Satan. Come on. Arrière de moi, Satan. I think the rest is okay. Hallelujah. But you need to learn in your house and on your own to recognize a voice that comes from Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes a voice that is telling you to rise up and do something that you've always known is wrong. Do you understand? Sometimes to be mean to somebody, sometimes to be wicked, sometimes to pay someone back in his own coin. Just revenge. Because revenge can be nice. Is it not true? Yeah, to get even with people, it's just a natural thing in us. Yeah, this guy will show him. Yeah. Wow. One day somebody made food for her husband. A pastor was there, and the church member came to call the pastor and said, "Pastor, come and see. You come and see." And then took the pastor's house and said, "This is supposed to be my dinner." The wife had just put, you know, in Ghana they have this food called fufu. We are supposed to be eating it with soup. And the wife has made just the fufu with no soup. And she had left it right there on the table. And when the husband had gone to ask her, you know, "Where is the soup?" Said, "The money you gave me, it could only make the fufu. It couldn't make the soup. Made enough soup for me and the children, but not for you. So yours is the fufu. Just take it like that." Eesh. An evil spirit has entered you. You see, and you need to be able to say, "Arrière de moi, Satan." You have to say it to yourself. Do you understand? Sometimes the devil is whispering things to you. Recently, I was driving with a brother, and then as we turned, he started saying, "Shut up, Satan, shut up, Satan, shut up, Satan." And I was wondering what's going on in his head, because I'm in the car. Maybe he feels like driving me into a ditch. I said, "What is making this brother say, 'Shut up, Satan, shut up, Satan'?" Hallelujah. Will you be able to recognize the voice of Satan when he speaks to you? And you rebuke him. Amen. You rebuke him. Is this voice of Satan that tells you don't forgive him? No. You forgive him, he goes caught free. No, don't forgive him. That's the voice of Satan. It's always the voice of Satan that says, don't forgive him. Because Jesus has said expressly that if you do not forgive men their trespasses, he will not forgive you your own trespasses. And if you understand the Bible, you know, give us very quickly Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2. You will understand that when your sins are not forgiven, it's a huge problem. And Satan always wants to get God's people locked behind in that trap. Do you understand? He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." But what is happening? Verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now Jesus said, if you do not forgive people their trespasses, God will not forgive your own sins. And Satan knows that as long as your sins are standing in the way, God's face is hidden from you. So he twists the whole thing round and makes it look like forgiveness is actually something that is benefiting someone else, when it's actually you who is going to be the primary beneficiary of your act of forgiveness. Hallelujah. So anytime you have a voice that tells you, look, so you're going to let this matter go? I mean, it's serious. It's the demon. You get it? Yeah. It's the demon. Sometimes God wants you to be kind to someone so that he can be kind to you. He wants you to sow a seed so you can qualify for a harvest. The devil tells you, no, no. Then he starts to quote what is supposed to be scripture. Heaven helps those who help themselves. You see. You get it? All kinds, the devil has all kinds of statements, and sometimes because we don't know the Bible, we are even confused. Like, no woman, no cry. It's not a verse in the Bible. No woman, no cry. So someone comes to you and he's advising you. You need to break up with her, you know. You need to break up with her. You know, after all, no woman, no cry. It's a verse from the devil's book. Hallelujah. So why don't you bow your heads this morning. Bow your heads and let's pray. Everybody, for 2 minutes, just commit yourself into God's hand and say, Lord, please help me to recognize the voice of Satan when I hear it. I pray that you will increase my sensitivity to the voice of the devil when he's directing me sometimes to make unwise choices, to sometimes even the way we spend our monies and resources that God has given to us. The devil influences even then, because he knows it will leave you with nothing. It will make you poor, and you will continue to work and work and work and have nothing. But pray this morning and say, Lord, please lead me, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, lead us to them promised land. Sing it again, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy, Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised land. Sing, you are our helper. Come on. You are our helper and our advocate. Strengthen us and our standby. Sing it again. You are our helper and our advocate. Strengthen us. Stand by, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised land, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Lead us to the promised land. Father, we thank you so much for this afternoon, and thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love expressed towards us in the things you allow us to hear. We pray in Jesus' name that you will help us to overcome the influence of evil spirits. Just the same way Jesus overcame evil spirits, we pray that you will open our eyes to see and recognize when it's the devil at work, even when what he's saying does not appear to be anything harmful. We know that he's an evil being and he has only bad intentions for us. That even the most benign statements that come from the devil are still dangerous statements. And we pray, Lord, that you open our eyes to see them. Help us to value your word. Help us to be more familiar with your voice and the voice of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Just keep your head.